here's a truth that most business books won't tell you. The fundamental problem with getting rich isn't lack of hard work or innovation. It's competition itself. In truly competitive markets, profits naturally drift toward zero. This isn't pessimism. It's basic economics. Think about your local coffee shop competing with Starbucks or a small retailer facing Amazon. No matter how brilliant the strategy, competition erodes profits like water wearing down stone. Circuit City's spectacular rise and fall perfectly illustrates this brutal reality. Founded in 1949, after Sam Wurzel overheard a conversation about television broadcasting at a barbershop, the company revolutionized electronics retail. By the 1980s, Circuit City had discovered a temporary advantage, using its massive scale to squeeze suppliers for better deals. Between 1982 and 1997, their stock outperformed the market by 18.5 times, the best performance of any Fortune 500 company. Yet by 2008, they were bankrupt. Why? Best Buy emerged with similar advantages, and competition did what it always does, eliminated excess profits. Even genius offers no escape. Long-term capital management, staffed with financial wizards, including two future Nobel Prize winners, initially generated 59% returns through sophisticated mathematical models. But as competitors copied their strategies, returns fell to 25%. Then the fund collapsed so catastrophically in 1998 that the Federal Reserve orchestrated a $3.6 billion bailout. The lesson is clear. In competitive markets, even the smartest eventually regress to average. To achieve spectacular wealth, you must escape competition entirely. Marcus Licinius Crassus mastered what modern billionaires still exploit, converting political power into personal fortune. After joining dictator Sulla's forces, Crassus weaponized Rome's proscriptions, execution lists that allowed property seizure. He added wealthy citizens' names purely to confiscate their fortunes, acquiring silver mines and vast real estate through what Plutarch called fire and plunder. Unlike typical Roman nobles who disdained commerce, Crassus leveraged his political wealth innovatively. He trained slaves in specialized skills and rented them at premium rates. He operated a ruthless firefighting scheme, buying properties at panic prices during fires, then deploying his slave firefighters to save them. As governor of Syria in 53 BC, he amassed wealth worth $5.3 billion in today's terms in just 1 year. Crassus's exploitation of political power established a pattern repeating throughout history, though modern wealth seekers have discovered less dangerous methods that don't end with your severed head used as a theatrical prop, as Crassus's was after his disastrous Parthian campaign. America's 19th century robber barons discovered a wealth secret that produced unmatched fortunes. 14 rank among history's 75 wealthiest people. Their insight? Competitive markets yield zero profits, but monopolies generate extraordinary returns. John D. Rockefeller's South Improvement Company scheme gave him leverage to acquire 21 of Cleveland's 26 refineries at fire sale prices. By 1877, he controlled 90% of U.S. refining capacity. His $1.4 billion fortune represented nearly 2% of U.S. economic output, twice Bill Gates's relative wealth at his peak. J.P. Morgan prevented ruinous competition by gaining board positions in railroads he financed, then forcing competing lines to coordinate prices and routes, creating informal monopolies disguised as separate companies. Andrew Carnegie mastered scale economies through his Edgar Thomson Works, America's largest manufacturing plant. When competitors fail during downturns, Carnegie acquired them cheaply, eventually controlling a quarter of U.S. steel production. Their common strategy? Defeating market competition through railroad rebates, scale economies, or banking networks established patterns influencing American capitalism for generations. What if you could gamble with unlimited money, knowing someone else would cover your losses? This is modern banking's wealth secret: government guarantees that effectively eliminate failure. In 1933, Congress created the FDIC to prevent bank runs. A crucial 1935 change allowed the FDIC to arrange mergers instead of liquidating failing banks. By the 1980s, 99.7% of all deposits were protected, creating an implicit government guarantee for the entire system. The concept of too big to fail emerged in 1984 when regulators bailed out Continental Illinois National Bank. Comptroller Todd Conover testified that 11 major banks had grown so large they could never be allowed to fail. The U.S. financial system had become a casino where banks gambled freely with taxpayers covering losses. The profits were extraordinary. The financial sector's share of U.S. corporate profits exploded from 15% pre-1980 to 45% by the early 2000s. Investment bankers in Manhattan averaged $880,000 in 2007, nearly 20 times the average American worker's income. Even the 2008 crisis didn't change this. The wealth secret persists. You cannot fail, so people keep giving you money. Dhirubhai Ambani's story reveals a counterintuitive truth. The worst places to do business often create the biggest fortunes. Born in 1932 in rural India with just two sets of clothes, his rise seemed impossible under India's License Raj, a Soviet-style regulatory nightmare requiring government permission for virtually every business decision. Yet, Dhirubhai discovered this hostile environment contained a powerful wealth secret. He mastered the government's import license system through his company, Reliance Commercial Corporation. Because India restricted synthetic fabric imports, polyester commanded seven times international rates. His breakthrough came in 1971 when he exploited India's higher unit value scheme, allowing synthetic fabric exporters to import polyester filament yarn if they sold products internationally at high prices. Unlike established business houses that disdained the license Raj, Dhirubhai embraced it completely, declaring, "The most important external environment is the government of India." Between 1979 and 1985, Reliance sales increased 458%, while profits grew 869%. His final masterstroke was building the world's largest oil refinery near Jamnagar, a facility covering half the size of London that accounted for 25% of India's refining capacity. This explains why billionaires in emerging markets grew from 55 in 1991 to 729 in 2014. A large share of a tiny, protected market beats a tiny share of a huge, competitive market every time. Bill Gates has remained among the world's richest since 1995 by mastering wealth creation through intellectual property and network effects. Microsoft's dominance stems from intellectual monopoly, patents and copyrights granting control over specific ideas. Gates secured DOS distribution rights from Seattle Computer Products for $75,000, generating $10 million within 2 years. This deal of the century gave Microsoft ironclad ownership. But network effects, when products become more valuable as more people use them, transformed borrowed software into billions. Software's advantage comes from near-zero marginal production costs. As Steve Ballmer noted, software businesses are all fixed-cost businesses, and so volume is absolutely everything. Microsoft prioritized compatibility over elegance, ensuring each generation worked with previous versions. By 1995, 140 million DOS-compatible computers existed versus 30 million non-DOS machines, an insurmountable advantage. When Microsoft exploited its dominance during the 1990s browser wars, courts ruled it a predatory monopolist in 1999. Yet breaking up the company would undermine the intellectual property rights, making its monopoly legal. Courts settled for monitoring behavior rather than dissolution. Microsoft's stock soared as investors realized the company's right to own the standard had been upheld. 100 years after great monopolies were tamed, monopoly capitalism had returned, without the price regulations constraining earlier giants. History's greatest fortunes share a pattern. Spectacularly rich people don't compete better, they avoid competition entirely. They establish monopolies through political power, Crassus, scale, Rockefeller, government guarantees, modern bankers, regulatory navigation, Ambani, or network effects, Gates. All private property is fundamentally a monopoly, exclusive rights to an asset and its revenue streams. Modern wealth masters navigate dictatorship by tedium, hiding advantages in laws so boring the public never notices. Financial regulations like Dodd-Frank span 848 pages, requiring 30,000 more pages of rules. For wealth seekers, these tedious regulations are gold mines. Dhirubhai Ambani's success formula? Two things, guts and luck. Pursuing wealth secrets is extraordinarily risky. Entrepreneurs invest everything in ventures where only one winner emerges. Yet wealth secrets are proliferating globally, evidenced by explosive billionaire growth and rising corporate profits. Today's economy offers more hidden ladders than ever. The question isn't whether these secrets exist, it's whether you have the guts to pursue them and the luck to succeed.